This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Wake up! Wake up! Mike Mulligan, David Haw.
Now I'm not so sure about Thursday night.
Really?
I'm not so sure about Thursday night. I don't know. Thursday night, it's going to be great. It's going to be on home ice in Boston, so that will help. It'll be intense as it was Saturday night.
And the gloves are off. Now we're 9 seconds in. We had a fight 2 seconds in, another one 1 second later. Now in the center of the action, it's Colton Parayko and JT Miller.
I don't have a great feeling yet.
If they finish the job on Thursday, which a lot of people believe they can, they already beat Canada in Canada.
These Canadians ain't got a care in the world.
Yeah, and how about the way they cheat at the World Series, huh? That's our game, people.
That is. Huh?
I'll tell you another thing, the beer sucks.
I get it, I understand all the injuries, but they played their rear ends off, and if they can do it again, that's a huge moment for the United States, especially heading into the Olympics next year.
Start your mornings with Mully and Haw, 5:30 till 10 a.m. on 670 The Score.
You'll get your mojo back. You won't be as disappointed in another day or two.
Let's go.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Tonight's the night, David.
It's game day.
Tonight is the gold medal game.
No, it's not. Not quite that level, but it feels that intense. Good morning. Happy Thursday. Going to be a fun day.
Jack Eichel called
great
it
night.
Like a game seven.
It has
of
that
the
feel.
Stanley Cup Finals.
It has that feel. It's going to be really interesting. I know, not to get ahead of ourselves, because tonight is going to be fun, but they still have 26, 27 games left in the NHL season. These players are resuming the regular season on Saturday. That's crazy.
Not all of them.
Well, maybe not the ones who were injured and as a result of this great tournament, but it has been a tremendous 2 weeks of hockey. A week-long celebration since Saturday night really, I think, got people going. And tonight, hopefully, it culminates in a close game, a good game. And everyone in America wants it to be a Team USA victory. I think that it would be terrific, but it is a little bit unsettling. It's a pick 'em game right now.
I'm sure there's some Canadian people in America
there are.
That haven't been thrown
absolutely.
Out yet.
Absolutely.
Yet. What?
Depending on the outcome of tonight. No, it's going to be tough. Uh-huh. It's going to be a challenge. And I think we had some really good hockey guests yesterday.
Oh, I was ready for the game.
Oh, my gosh. We've had some really good hockey guests this week. It will come down to the goaltending.
We got a really good hockey guest coming up tomorrow.
And today. We got Eddie O today.
Eddie O.
Eddie
great.
O, 8 o'clock. He saw up close and personal. And he knows what it's like to put on the sweater with Team USA on the front. 1984, I believe. A young Eddie Olczyk represented America. Patriot. Good man.
He's a Patriot.
Just saying. He can relate to this feeling, the surge of nationalism that you're going to feel tonight. I'm very curious about the anthem.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder what's going to happen with the both the anthems. Sean McDonough, who's doing the game, and he's doing the game and was quoted yesterday as saying that he hopes that Americans don't boo the Canadian anthem. I think we all, I don't want to speak for you, but I think we all understand where he's coming from, and I would agree with that. Just don't know how to call it. Just don't know how it's going to go down. Emotions could take over.
The Canadians are about as fine and nice a people as there are on Earth. And the idea of booing their national anthem because they responded to all the political pressure by booing your anthem in Montreal is just so missing the point.
It's somewhat absurd. I agree with that.
It is ridiculous.
It really is. We have seen absurdity before at sporting events, though.
Oh, no.
So
that's the
expectations.
Yeah.
You'd like to say it's never going to happen, and it won't happen, but we all aren't. We're not that naive.
No.
It could happen. But and so let's hope that there are things ridiculous. That don't detract from the game on the ice. And I mean that in that as much as we made about the three fights in 9 seconds and what that did to set the stage for that emotional game on Saturday night, I would hope that we don't have to go through that again.
These teams don't like each other, yeah, Mr. David. I think we got to get to that.
They respect each other, though. They respect each other, though.
They don't like each other.
They don't like each other. And if there's a healthy respect, I would hope that would
there will be
prevail.
Later in life.
Yeah.
Right? When you get older and you see someone you sparred with, yeah, you kind of have a bond of...
There's a lot of intrigue. I think that's the way to look at it, though. There's a lot of political intrigue. There's a lot of emotional investment. And then it comes down to who's got the hot goalie and who's going to have the hot hand. And the hot stick.
Is Trudeau going to be there?
I don't know.
Because he was at that first game.
Yes, he was.
But he left. Did you see that? After the first period, because he had a fly out to L.A. to meet with your guy, the Spare.
Who's my guy?
The Spare.
Who's?
That was his book. The redheaded guy. That redheaded guy married to Meghan Markle.
That's not my guy.
You would love that guy.
Prince Harry?
Is that his name?
Yes.
Harry Windsor.
No.
He went out to meet
I did
Harry.
Not know that.
I couldn't believe it. It was like, how weird.
Yeah,
What a strange commitment.
I'm kind of less into who's in the audience. I'm more curious about what's going on the ice.
Well, I'm very curious about who's in the audience in terms of the American hockey players.
Yeah.
We don't have any. We know McAvoy's out.
But it's
right?
been a strange week. Brady Tkachuk, I hope, is not going to miss this game.
I don't think he is. I think that.
But he was off the ice for a while yesterday.
But Sullivan said that the only reason he came out of that game was for. Yeah, but who knows? You know,
maintenance day. It was a maintenance day. Heck of a day to have maintenance. But I think you have a lot of questions about the health. But it's just going to be one of those events. It's must-watch television. You want to be definitely setting aside a couple hours tonight for one of the best sporting events you'll see this year.
Mm-hmm. It should be really good.
Yeah.
It better be. It would be hugely disappointed if it isn't good.
Well, you got to go there.
Well, I'm just saying. Let's
Come
hope
on,
it lives
man.
Up. If it can live up to the hype, I think we'll be awful pleased.
McAvoy's going to be a big loss. I think you look at the Tkachuks, you wonder how they're healthy and if they're healthy. And I said it yesterday, and it bears repeating. We'll talk to Eddie O at 8 o'clock. The Canadian star power. You wonder in one game for all the marbles, and tonight is for all the marbles. You wonder if that is going to give them that slightest of advantages that you need in a game like this. I'm talking about McDavid, McKinnon, and Crosby.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the guys who are as good as it gets. They've been there before.
So which one are you betting on for first goal? Who are you betting on for any time goal?
You got to go McDavid.
See? I knew you were choosing. I knew you were secretly on their side.
I'm not secretly on their side. But if you had to tell me, what is your safest money if you're betting? And I will do this after the game or after the show. I will not distract myself from betting during the show.
Uh-huh.
I have my discipline.
Time. Mr. Dustino, can you please report Mr. David to ICE?
I'm not betting during the show. I won't do it.
Mr. David, report the ice. Is he going to play? No. We mean ice.
not the ice. Other ice.
Mr. Vegas Hall, so I want to ask for your advice. So this is what I have via FanDuel. So I have Canada on the money line. I'm betting. I'm betting. I'm not going with my heart. I got Canada in the money line.
Right.
I got under 5.5 goals. I got an anytime goal from Connor McDavid and an anytime goal from Matthew Tkachuk. Is that solid?
Oh, my gosh. It's like you read my mind. Right now, that is exactly the way I would be leaning. The only one I would have the most question about is the under 5.5. I might go over that.
Dustino, report both David and Brandon Fryer.
You can go to the 51st state, Brandon.
No,
that's right.
Look, you guys, Brandon is speaking truth, and unfortunately, he's thinking with his head and not his heart. If I'm doing that, I'm leaning toward, as we sit here at 5:40 this morning, Canada.
I want to go USA. The injuries are scaring me.
The injuries are scary. You're right.
Connor McDavid on Circus Sports Illinois is plus 225 as an anytime goal scorer. I think that's a very safe.
Yeah, that's an invitation.
Right.
To make some money.
That's one leg of your multi-leg same game.
Not if somebody punches him 9 seconds in.
Huh? You don't want that to happen
if he's got a gob full of fists.
Can you bet on a fight? If there's going to be a fight?
I don't think so. Probably somewhere.
I have the every time dropping of gloves wager.
I think what happened Saturday night was a novelty. You saw the effect it had on the game, and it was historic almost. And you'll talk about it for years. I just don't think tonight you need that, and I think it would seem somewhat contrived. If it happens.
How about this, though, since we've opened the door on the gambling and now I'm gone down a rabbit hole, as we would like to say.
That's all it takes.
How about this?
Way to go, Molly.
First goal scorer, Connor McDavid, plus 1,200.
Ooh. Wow.
I mean, first Canadian goal. This is first goal of the game. First goal of the game.
There won't be anybody more ready than McDavid tonight. Sid will be shot out of a cannon.
Sid the Kid, plus 2,000.
Yeah, well,
plus 2,000.
It might take him a while to get going.
He could probably get an empty netter later in the game.
Stop!
I would bet a point on him. You can bet a point on him.
Interesting.
Interesting. Empty netter late.
Wasn't it funny to talk to Tony Granato, who coached Crosby?
Yeah, that was wild.
With the Penguins, but talking about going musky fishing with Dylan Larkin.
Yeah, that was hysterical.
And the 48.5-inch fish that he caught.
He got a big one.
What else you got there, Dustin? What else are you kind of going down that rabbit hole now that we have opened that door?
It's basically a pick. I am more than engaged. It's minus 105 both ways. The total's 5.5 pucks. The under is juiced to minus 135. So if you're betting under, you got to lay 135 to win that 100
pack. I really think that it might go over there. That's the only question. There's going to be some offense. Will there not?
People always go over.
Mm-hmm.
People tend to bet the over. The bet then is probably the under, especially given what you just said.
I believe that I'm one of those people that, as a novice bettor.
Well, what was the first game?
Relatively novice bettor.
3-1?
3-1. I think only one game in this whole tournament has really gone over.
Yeah.
And that was on Monday, Canada and Finland. It was 5-3.
Goaltending is the biggest question for both of these teams.
Well, it's the biggest question for Canada, for sure. I thought the U.S. played pretty well in that game.
I guess if there's a weakness, that would be it, though, right?
For Canada?
For both teams.
Well, now the USA's blue line is hampered, right? Well, but Canada's is stronger.
I love it when Dustin talks hockey.
Their blue line
line is hampered. It is. You're right.
I use hampered correctly?
You did use hampered correctly. You could have missed this tournament.
I think that you're missing the headline. The headline is you use blue line correctly.
I don't typically screw up the use of
hockey. This has been so much fun. I got to tell you, we have not only talked hockey, but been able to talk hockey because it's the best thing going right now.
Listen,
for about a week.
And not only
that. We've been opening with hockey.
This is awesome.
All week.
We have. And you know what? I will almost guarantee we'll close the week opening with hockey.
Yes.
And we'd like to thank hockey for having a tournament at this time.
Yes. Thank you, hockey.
This was really intelligent planning. I don't want to give Gary Bettman that much credit. I don't know whose idea it was. I doubt it was his. But this was perfectly placed on the sports calendar.
Would you boo Gary Bettman?
Yes. Then?
No.
Yes.
We had a great time where Gary Bettman booed with us. That was hysterical.
That was funny.
It's one of the funniest things ever.
I've had some very pleasant one-on-one interactions with Gary Bettman.
Yes.
I've had some very not-so-pleasant one-on-one interactions with Gary Bettman. I just have, of all the commissioners doing their jobs right now, I wonder how he stayed in this one as long as he has. I'm not a huge fan. I'm just not a huge fan. And it stems from the reluctance or his insistence that he never will acknowledge or admit the connection between CTE and playing hockey. And I have always had a hard time understanding how the commissioner of a sport who cares about concussions can be that tone deaf on that specific thing. Okay, then.
Well, but it's really interesting because obviously Bobby Hull yesterday, the word came out that he had been tested for and did indeed have CTE, which unfortunately is something that you can't test for or find until a person has expired. So it made you go back. Stan Mikita had a rough end to his life. And those were days where guys, you know, were not wearing helmets. And those were days where the head injuries were awful. And they no one slowed down, let alone left games, et cetera. And I think that the game has changed quite a bit since then.
Health measures. It's also more violent. But it's because it happens at a more accelerated speed.
Yeah, because you're flying around.
And so the collisions are greater. And it was major news yesterday when the Concussion Legacy Institute released the findings.
Yeah.
And Bobby Hull's family gave permission to have his brain studied and the release of the information. And to see that and still not publicly acknowledge the link between playing hockey and getting CTE and all of that comes with that, to me, is irresponsible. But that is the official stance of the NHL commissioner. So
I, like a lot of people, had like a kind of embarrassing exchange with Bobby Hull at one point in my life. And I came away with the person I was with saying, just shaking his head and saying, never meet your idols. Because of how out of control he was. And, you know, we were at a party at the Field Museum. Bobby Hull walks up to our table. Like, you're just like, oh my God, there's two of us standing at a cocktail table. He grabs my buddy's beer and skulls it, just drinks the beer. And he said, now you can say you had a beer with a hockey legend, and walks away. But first he insulted the waitress, like, you know, said something incredibly rude to her. And the two of us were standing there with, like, jaws agape. And I wonder if, you know, my view of him in that moment
interesting
would have been impacted by whatever was going on in his noggin. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like,
I wasn't thinking, oh, that guy took a lot of hits. I was thinking, God
right.
almighty, what
you,
was
had
that?
Had you thought that, or had we known that? But I think it's impossible to know, and you really don't want to use that either
as a
blanket
excuse
for that kind of behavior or any kind of behavior.
Yeah.
But I do think there's a balance to strike when you're talking about the damage it can do to your brain and the effects that has on your life and on a hockey player's life or a football player's life.
Right, right.
And and how some of this behavior should or shouldn't be excused. Yeah, so each individual is different, but that's an unfortunate memory because we say Bobby Hull, that's the first thing you think
first
of.
First thing I think of.
Because it's such an outrageous exchange.
If I told you what he said, you'd be like, whoa, you know, it was shocking.
And I have, you know, I understand, and believe me, all of the history and all of these things that Bobby Hull went through.
Yeah,
everyone's got their own personal experiences.
Yeah.
He was at a hockey game, one of the Hawks, Stanley, I think it was 2015. My son was there. He was great to my son. He took a picture, and you remember these kinds of things.
Yeah.
At that stage of his life, you could tell that the decline was beginning, but he was still an ambassador for the team up until, you know, the time that he wasn't.
Right.
Before he passed. So yeah, that was an unfortunate bit of news yesterday. Information though that is valuable to have, and moving forward, it's important to keep in mind because this is a violent game. And tonight it'll be on full display, but tonight's more of a celebration than anything. And tonight's going to be great. Tonight is going to be a great 2-3 hours of just high-quality, playoff-caliber NHL Stanley Cup type of hockey.
And it's also the rivalry. It's you know, North American rivalry. It's the kind of, you know, the I believe it was Chelly who said yesterday, Canada claims to have created the game.
Yeah. There's that little dig, isn't it?
It's their claim.
And so there's so many ironies. There's so many fun little things to look for tonight in connections. But Austin Matthews, right. Austin Matthews, who's coming back and probably one of the biggest factors in the game tonight. Best offensive player on Team USA, going into a building that has not been kind to him as an NHL player. The Maple Leafs cannot get past the Boston Bruins. And tonight, and every time that Austin Matthews would go into Boston in the postseason, he would get booed, and he would dread the occasion. And tonight, he could be a hero there.
Wow.
Tonight could be his, for him, a guy who's never achieved the Stanley Cup success, tonight could be the biggest moment of his career in a building that has not been kind to him.
Shouldn't they boo him anyway?
Yes.
Just out of habit.
You
know, just wouldn't that be...
Out of habit?
Wouldn't that be like a real crowning achievement if they
that would be something
kept
else.
After him for that reason?
Plus 1,400 to score the first goal tonight.
That's not a bad bet either.
Do you have the first like three or four names, or are you just cherry
picking? I'm as you guys mentioned.
Do you have a list?
This would be my list.
I could pull a whole list up. Yeah.
This would be my three. If I was going to go in order. First goal scorer, McDavid, Matthews, Hughes. Jack Hughes.
All right, let me get you Jack Hughes. We haven't talked about him yet. The other two we've given you.
Molly didn't like Jack
Hughes.
I'm just going
to my app.
Random?
I'd say give me a Tkachuk. You're kind of leaving two.
I'm worried about the health.
I don't care about
all right, Molly's Matthew Tkachuk is plus 1,600. Jack Hughes plus 1,800. Brady Tkachuk plus 2,000. These are first goal of the game.
That Brady Tkachuk's a good bet. You're right. I think the fact that he hasn't practiced and that he's missed, it's just.
But he could come out. On fire.
I don't understand how he got hurt on that play. I mean, that's the thing that bothers me. It just didn't seem. It makes
don't
me
know
feel
if he's got something already that he aggravated.
Like he
re-aggravated.
He could have.
It was awkward.
It was.
He was
like,
sliding, and then he kind of got contorted in a way.
But he didn't really hit the bar that
didn't
hard.
Look violent.
But that oftentimes can be a worse injury. You know, you have some issue, and then that hits you right in the right spot. It just that bothers me.
The two shortest prices are Nathan MacKinnon and Connor McDavid, both plus 1,200. So they're Circus Sports Illinois thinks that Canada will have the first goal of the game, and then the shortest price for an American is Austin Matthews at plus 1,400.
MacKinnon, he could control this game as easily as anybody, too. If anybody can catch him. Him and McDavid, my gosh.
They're moving
lightning fast. But you got the Tkachuk brothers. They're not going to mess around. They better be on the same line if they are playing tonight. And healthy. I hope that they're on the same line with Jack Eichel.
Okay, what is Eichel?
Eichel would be a good one, too.
He doesn't score goals. I'm just curious.
Is that? Well, he's...
I mean, he can score.
Right.
I'm just saying. That's not...
It's not his primary role.
That you would take both.
Yeah, he's... to your point, Molly, he's plus 2,000 as the first goal scorer. So.
Might have a good blue liner. What defenseman might be top of the list there?
Well, now you're going to put me on.
No, I'm just wondering what's Cale Makar. That'd be a guy.
I'm looking. He's not popping up yet.
I don't know. He could control this game.
He might have a sniffle.
I think that
2,500 plus 2,500.
Chelly said yesterday, and maybe with Granato, they had so much great insight. But Cale Makar could control this game.
Yeah.
In a way that
he didn't play in the past. In the first one because he had a sniffle.
Exactly.
Maybe he's got a cold. Tell Gutless that he's not needed.
So that was kind of a rope-a-dope. The Canadians roped the Americans into feeling fat and happy by winning a game that, you know, potentially doesn't matter. Again, if the Americans don't do it tonight, Saturday does not matter at all. Not even a little tiny bit.
I don't know about that.
That's extreme.
Yeah.
That's an extreme take. I wouldn't agree.
You're a very extreme person.
I think that you can't erase that from your memory, no matter how hard you might want to try. You can't do it. That was indelible. What happened on Saturday night?
That was a huge moment for the
huge moment.
The U.S. of A.
Yeah, the biggest hockey game in American history in recent memory until tonight.
Yeah, no question.
And yeah, but you're not going to just. You can't just erase.
I'm not going to feel great tomorrow morning at this time if they lose and lose badly. I'm not going to be like, oh well, let's go back to Saturday.
What if?
So
what
why
if,
are you sitting there without comment while all of your workmates are hammering Canada?
Did I told Brandon to move? I told Brandon he can move and go do sports talk radio in the 51st state.
Vancouver's lovely this time of year.
51st state.
Vancouver.
Am I saying it wrong?
Von Miller? Up
Lindsay.
There?
Lindsay. Von.
I know who you meant.
Didn't you cover that Olympics, David?
I did not.
Oh, I thought you were there.
I did not go to the Vancouver Olympics
specifically because
Vancouver.
Of Lindsay Von. He can't stand her.
Vancouver, Calgary, Vancouver.
I do remember having conversation with Patrick Kane at the Vancouver Olympics. Oh, and by the way, why is it Kaner?
Via phone?
On this? Yes.
Oh, okay. Via phone. Why isn't he on what?
Why wasn't he called in when they've got these emergency things? Oh, my God, what?
This is like you've been on this bandwagon since the tournament began. I think your first comment was, well, I don't know why Kane.
Over the weekend, will you help a sculptor sculpt the future statue? Kane statue outside the United States?
I would. I would. It's coming.
That's an easy one to make.
It's coming.
You just have the mouthpiece hanging out.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I'm bothered that the greatest U.S.-born player in hockey history isn't part of this.
Are you really sorry? Because it sounds like you may be putting out a sarcastic voice.
I apologize for being right.
I apologize for being right. You know, if they lose, maybe you're right.
Okay.
If they lose. USA. Should be fun. All right, we got the Pick 6 next. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Pick 6 with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top 6 sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick 6 with Mully and Haw starts now.
Pick 6 brought to you by Finishing Chicago. Great finishes start with the contractors from finishingchicago.com. What was your reaction to the Bears raising ticket prices 10% across the board for a team that hasn't had a winning season since 2018 and only 2 in the last 13 seasons?
I would say I was far from pleased hearing that. Didn't they just raise ticket prices like last year, 8%? So it's 18% over 2 years? I mean, honestly, what are good reasons to get a refund? I mean, just a refund. We got a lot of lawyers out there. Someone ought to sue these guys for withholding too much taxes or whatever reason there would be, because that team was god-awful last year. What was the record at home? How bad have they been, especially after nobody was allowed to swear on Hard Knocks, and then everybody had to swear the whole season long, okay? Give me a break. You should win before you start raising prices on average of 10%. I get it. They got a lot of expenses. They got to pay off coaches. They got to buy new coaches. They need players. Why are you handing that on to the public? Why mismanage your business and then charge the public more? Because, as we've often said, nobody sells losing like the Bears. And no one charges for it now either. Just insane that they just raised the prices. And you know what? That was before the salary cap went up. They announced that like minutes before the salary cap went up. Quick, get back. It's now 15. Never mind the 10. I mean, could there be a worse look than raising prices after the season they just experienced? I'd be befuddled in an effort to find it. Nobody thinks this is wise, and nobody feels like they're getting a good deal when you watch this team play.
Oh, well, Kevin Warren might want a word, Mully. After careful and thoughtful consideration and incorporating market and dynamics and industry trends and a strong home schedule, these are the reasons why we're increasing.
Did you see their home schedule? Have you looked at that group?
Saints, Giants. Who else?
So what I guess
Packers, Lions,
you're
Vikings.
You're assured a certain number of wins? Is that the idea? You're going to have fun this year?
You're assured of seeing non-marquee teams play against another team.
I'm sorry,
that's...
Dustin. Go back.
You guys are right. I mean, but your point, when you answered the question perfectly, to me, the first thing that went into my mind was, well, Bears fans, you want to fire a coach in the middle of the season, you wanted to pay a head coach more than any other head coach in this hiring cycle got to be a head coach, and he's a first-time head coach. This is the price of playing poker.
Well, you want to do the line item thing, you could do that because you're paying Matt Eberflus $9 million not to be here and Shane Waldron $6 million. So if you want to look at it that way, fine. But you can't look at it that way. You're the Chicago Bears, and you have a losing tradition. You have not had a winning season since 2018, and you have only two winning seasons since 2012. That was the year you fired your coach for going 10-6. You're the Chicago Bears, and yes, you went out and got the most sought-after coach in the head coaching market, and you paid him a small fortune, $13 million a year. So this is, in some ways, the Ben Johnson tax. But you've got to be more savvy, I think, Kevin Warren. I know it's a difficult world you live in, and inflation affects all of us. But coming off a season where you were well short of expectations and you lost 10 games in a row, you can't raise your ticket prices by 10%. That's just telling the fans that you don't understand them and you can't relate to them. You should have to have back-to-back winning seasons before you earn the right to raise your ticket prices. You shouldn't be historically bad.
When's the last time that happened?
Good question. So I think that this is hard to take. Last year it was 8%, but 8% with you when you were taking away a home game because it was in London. And this year...
So you charge people to have to pay for a flight.
Essentially, it was a road game that you added to their budget if you wanted to go watch them win. But you know what? That was the only place you could watch them win. They're better in London than they ever were in Chicago.
What do you think it's going to cost when they actually put a shovel in the ground and get some cranes around here and put a stadium up?
Well, the price isn't going down, Mr. Dustino. Honestly.
I'm just saying, where do you think it's going?
You touched on it, Molly. This is bad timing, but not for just the reasons we articulated. But when it comes on a day where you're reminded how good the business of football is. The cap is going up. Everybody's making money hand over fist. And the Bears want to make more by charging their fan base that has been disappointed and frustrated for years. Oh, here, give us another 10%.
I'm not talking necessarily about a pick six or something like that.
That's the voice of Brad Biggs. He writes Bears for the Tribune, and Biggs' time is 7 this morning. What do you make of Nate Taylor's report in The Athletic? He joins you guys at 9, that guard Trey Smith will not be getting either the franchise or the transition tag. It seems likely to hit unrestricted free agency. Will that information change with word yesterday the NFL salary cap will be increasing by 20 to 25 mil, though? Should Smith be the Bears' top priority?
Well, the first thing you want to do is find out if that changes that story.
Right.
Because that story was posted before the news of the salary cap increase. And you have to wonder if teams like the Chiefs that were on one moment in salary cap hell, the next moment were released into purgatory. You just don't know what it means, because this could free up the money that they need to retain a guy like Trey Smith. If they prioritize him on their offensive line, this changes the dynamic of free agency potentially for the Bears. The Bears will have more money, absolutely, but so will teams like the Chiefs that were struggling to fit everybody under the cap. So I think it's good news that everybody has a little bit more wiggle room under the salary cap, because your teams like the Bears, and maybe players will be asking for higher salaries, but you know how it works. They will prioritize the players they want, and this might not be great news for the Bears.
All right, so this was a misleading headline also, by the way, in this story by The Athletic. This was a very interesting, you know, grab and clickbait type of thing. Mm-hmm. What was said in the story is that he believes that they will work out a contract with Trey Smith, much like the contract they worked out with their center last year, with some pretty high guaranteed money into the future, almost like deferral type stuff. This also, as you guys pointed out, very accurately was written and released before we all got the news that the cap was going up. So again, if you watched that Chiefs game and you watched how they lost that Super Bowl, and Smith was part of the problem in that game particularly, if you let him go, how are you going to protect the best quarterback in the NFL? I just don't think this guy hits the street. I also suspect that in a week or two, we're going to hear about the best quarterback in football deferring money and giving money back, so that they can even have more money to keep guys around. So actually, this news is bad news for the Bears. I think this is bad. I would put the chances of the Bears landing this guy, unless they're as disappointed as I am in how he played in the Super Bowl, at about 0.0, a Blutarski.
Yeah, the 20 to 25 million isn't just for any one team. Every team gets that increase in their salary cap. Yeah. So that means if you've been hoarding money, waiting for a free agency, guess what? Everybody has enough money to get a contract done. Not good for a team like the Bears that needs multiple players out of this free agency. I think, Dustin, you've hit upon it. To me, if the conclusion from the Super Bowl is that the Chiefs have got to spend money on their offensive line, why would they let the best offensive lineman go, or arguably one of their top offensive linemen? The Chiefs have been to, what, 5 Super Bowls in 6 years or something? It's just crazy. They have had 5 different left tackles over that period of time. That's insane. For a team with that quarterback, with that amount of success, they have lined up so many different guys at left tackle. So that's obviously a position they want to address and deal with. But you don't get better by losing the strength of your offensive line. I just am very curious to see if he gets out of there. We've talked about this from the minute we knew the guy was going to be in free agency. Teams don't let good players go.
That's why, as soon as this news came across the wire yesterday, of thinking, okay, what's their plan B?
Right. That's exactly right, David. That's the same thought I had. This is not good. The rise of the salary cap, great news for players, great news for the health of the league, bad news Bears.
You know, I knew that question would come up.
Oh, lots of questions to come. Joey Bosa expected to be released by the Chargers before he's due $12 million next month as a roster bonus. What's your level of interest if you're the Bears? Is it realistic to think Ryan Poles could land Bosa?
This is so great. I mean, I would love to see Joey Bosa come to Chicago. That would be fantastic. I take both the Bosa brothers, their mom. It's her hometown. That would be wonderful to see them come back. And as I learned in our text exchange that I was slow draw moving to, there were a lot of people making a lot of jokes. And it was very amusing to me because people know who Tony Bosa is and what his Chicago connection is. So it's just awesome. I'm all for it. The great thing about this is, you know, you asked me if I'd give up a couple first-round picks for Myles Garrett. I was like, yeah, let's go. I'm all for it. I mean, you don't have to give up any picks. If you sign a guy like with this kind of value, I know he's had his injuries, et cetera, but he's a hell of a football player, and he certainly fits the landscape of Chicago, and he'd hit people.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
There we go. Here come the jokes.
That was one of them.
Right? I love this idea. I mean, you know, Joey Bosa would make quarterbacks, swim with the fishes out in Lake Michigan. We had some fun with this on our little group text yesterday when this news came out. Mully, I think you nailed it there with the idea that you don't have to give up anything but money. And what do the Bears have now? Money. But at the same time,
you can charge the public and get more.
Right. Bring it up. Make it 12% across the board or on average or
you
whatever.
You want Joey Bosa? 12% increase.
But you know who else got money yesterday? The Chargers. Does that 20 or 25 million go to the roster? But, you know, the great Jim Harbaugh, he doesn't need a guy like Joey Bosa. You know, he just, you know, drinks whole milk and, you know, wears khaki pants and buys them at Walmart and eats T-bone steaks.
I don't know how you turn a question about Joey Bosa into a diss on Jim Harbaugh. But nonetheless, the Chargers will
have it.
Habit. Exactly.
What about my Godfather reference.
I think that was great. It was very well done.
What the hell is this? That's a sudden message. It means Luca Brasi sleeps with the fishes.
Quarterbacks are going to sleep with the fishes when Joey Bosa's here, David.
He plays his own.
That's right.
Plays his own audio.
Joey Bosa in Chicago would be a thing. I mean, it would be a lot of fun. And you're right, it's only money. I would much rather see them overpay for Joey Bosa, even though he's coming off a season that he was healthy, but not as productive as he has been. Okay, fine. Line him up opposite Montez Sweat and see what you got. I love it. I love the idea. I don't mind the thought of overpaying him as much as I would think that giving up top draft picks, first-round draft picks for Myles Garrett. I don't like that. I would prefer Bosa because of the only money part of it, but they may be able to retain him. They also have Khalil Mack to pay. But Joey Bosa in Chicago, the storylines, the implications, all that stuff, yeah, sign me up.
Terrific question. Need to get that answer. Don't have it for you today.
Score Baseball Insider Bruce Levine at 8:25 live from spring training. The Cubs are opening their Cactus League season today. Camelback Ranch, the place. Opponent, the Dodgers, in a game that'll be on the MLB Network. So why is Michael Busch the only regular position player or pitcher expected to start this game? Can you please speculate?
I just think they're slow to wrapping up people. It doesn't really bother me. I don't think that it even if they're starting their everyday lineup today, I would wonder why are they doing it on February 20th. Just give them a time to ease into the process. Heck, when I hear Craig Counsell, who has great insight, he is the smartest guy, all those things remain true, but he sounds a little bored already. Did he say something about the first hour spring training games are fun, but then after that, like, dude, you paid $8 million a year to manage. At least hold your interest a little bit longer than an hour.
About $3 million too much.
But I get it. I get it that this is going to be a slow process, and the fact that Michael Busch is the only guy starting, that's okay for me. I don't really mind who they're using pitch. You know, the biggest thing to come out of yesterday was Justin Steele seems to be assured that he's starting on the home opener at Wrigley Field, so at least we got that cleared up.
Cody Petit, by the way, getting the ball for your Northside baseball team. So what Council should have said was, we're leaving for Japan, I think it's now in like 18 days or something like that, but we got a lot. No, we have to keep everybody healthy so we can get to Japan.
Yeah.
Because how do you get ready by not playing? Now, here, now I'll tap the brakes, and we can go back to this early next week. So Chicago Cubs baseball will be on the air at 1:55 on Friday, which is tomorrow. And if we get more regulars, fine. Okay, that make like because the game's going to be on the radio. Like this is on MLB Network.
Yeah.
Forget about MLB Network. Oh. You know, give it to Marquee, give it to the Score.
So
when the games are going to be on those platforms, have the regulars play. If it's not going to be on, then don't have the regulars play.
But why Michael Bush? Why are they forcing him to
Because
play?
Michael Bush wants to get back at the Dodgers.
He
wants
didn't
to show
ramp up
them.
Quick enough.
He wants to show them what they gave up
on. Do they have another first baseman in camp?
See, that was kind of where I was going to go.
Do they?
Yeah. If Bellinger was there, he could
this
play.
This tells me they have no depth. They have no backup. He's got to play every inning of every game.
Birdie can play first. He filled in for Rizzo.
I forgot Birdie.
Yeah, look, I don't know how much we care about the Crackers League, but I will be tuning in. I just think it's going to be fun, maybe for about, you know, two innings or something, just to have baseball on. It'll help gear me up as I get ready for hockey.
I'm going to pay attention as long as Craig Council does.
Yeah, exactly.
About an hour.
Yeah, but not even. I'm not quite paid as much as Craig Council, so I just give him about.
I got a good hour
seconds.
In me this afternoon. You know,
I got to catch some Z so I can stay up till 10:30.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know if that answered the question.
Billy Donovan's got his Bulls on the Score tonight. Chuck Swirsky's pregame, 6:15. What are you expecting from the Bulls in New York against the Knicks, a game that Patrick Williams will miss due to a lingering leg injury? Are you hoping for wins or losses over the last 2 months of this lost season?
Well, I'm a little bit bummed that they're playing the game and that it counts, because right now they are at the perfect cross-section of Jordan and Pippen. They're 23-33. Doesn't that seem like the right record for the Bulls to just sit on for a while? I don't know why they have to keep playing, but such is the rules of the league. I don't think much of the Bulls going into New York. And I got to be honest with you, I don't see them winning very much at all. I don't know if it's a question of whether you want them to win or lose or what. Did you watch the way they played toward the end of the first half of the season, whatever we want to call it? They've played 56 games, but they were god-awful in the last couple of games before the break. And I got a feeling we're going to see them continue that trend. I don't know that they can win. I don't know how many games they're going to win, but I don't think it's a worry. I think they're going to be securely in the draft lottery, and they're guaranteed their pick anyway. So congratulations to the Bulls.
Hashtag capture the flag. That's where my focus is.
Did you see Cooper Flagg said that he might want to come back next year?
That would be...
Did you see that?
I did.
In The Athletic?
I did.
Goodness sakes.
But that would be a $400 million mistake.
I'm not disagreeing with that. And I definitely think that he...
I love the attitude,
will
right?
come to his senses and somebody will talk him out of that, but... That was a surprise.
Well, could the Bulls be even worse next year?
I hope he goes Danny Ferry on the whole thing. Just plays all four years, then goes to Italy.
Yeah, Danny Ferry did play all 4 years. Wow, that's
and
a
then
blast
he went
from
to
the
Italy.
Past.
Yeah, just
yeah,
saying.
23-33, yes, it's a nice little Jordan and Piffen reference, but you know what? With 26 games left, they're staring at Horace Grant number of losses.
At minimum.
54 could be the number. They could lose 21 more times.
Oh, they're bad.
They're 26 games. They could go 5-21.
I like it.
If they don't start to hit threes, you know, college basketball and NBA basketball, you watch it and you could just... You shout at the clouds and say, get off my lawn, by talking for the next 3 hours about how bad it has gotten with all these teams chucking up threes and not being able to hit threes. There's only a couple teams that really are good at that. The Bulls aren't one of them. And they are playing this style, and I applaud them for trying to do something with this roster, Billy Donovan. You're trying. But we're going to watch the final 26 games, a team trying to play a three-point driven offense and run that offense, and they can't hit the three. It's going to be ugly, and they're going to lose a lot.
They're going to lose.
Oh, that's a good question.
That is the voice of the great Eddie Olczyk. Eddie O with Mully and Haw at 8 o'clock talking Four Nations Face-Off title game, Canada-USA Part 2. How do you expect the Blackhawks to react to Seth Jones discussing a trade so the 30-year-old can play for a winner? How hard will it be to unload his $9.5 million cap hit?
Well, I think they'll find a taker eventually. It might take till the offseason, but Seth Jones maybe wants to be part of the playoff run this year. Maybe they can find somebody who will split the contract and pay half, pay it down, whatever combination. I understand why Seth Jones wants to move on. I don't think he's been a great Blackhawk, and I've been disappointed since he arrived. It was a Stan Bowman move. It was an act of desperation, but at the time I thought, wow, Seth Jones is one of the best young blue liners in the NHL. And when you have him, then I thought that's a good move. It wasn't a good move. It's an albatross of a contract. Now they're trying to unload it. And the only good thing about this, because Seth Jones wanting to engineer a trade and not wanting to call it that, is kind of, just say it. You want out. Because I think that he has been a guy who has made some news, and there's been some grumblings at the end of last season, and now here we are before the trade deadline. But accommodate him. Kyle Davidson will try. The only good news is the Hawks are loaded with young, up-and-coming defensemen who one day will help them feel better about their own blue line, Dustin. And I think that is where you, what you take out of this.
If they could find a taker, that'd be great. I just wonder how much the Blackhawks would have to eat of that $9.5 million in order to get him off their books.
I'm just glad that he got paid, you know, because at one point he wanted to make money. Now he's decided he wants to win. I don't have a lot of... I don't feel great about this. I get it. The Blackhawks, you know, it's hard to watch them on a game-to-game basis. I don't know what it would be like having to show up and play, but it seems like he's done well for himself. And the idea, he's not demanding a trade, but they're talking about scenarios in which he would go and try to win somewhere. Give me a break. You know, you want to get out, get out. You're just going to have to take a pay cut to do so. But the Hawks, is there any benefit to eating salary and getting a higher draft pick? Does that work in the NHL? I don't know. They're capped pretty hard, so I don't know the rules of it. I'm just, you know, fair enough. You want to go, then you should go. But I don't know that he's earned the money that they paid him. How about that?
He has not. Well, he most decidedly has not.
So there's that. And I don't know what the market looks like. Could he help teams? Yes.
Absolutely.
No doubt about it. But at that price, probably not. It'd be tough to move him, frankly.
There's rumors about Toronto. There's rumors about Vegas. There'll be rumors about other teams that are contenders. But if I'm Kyle Davidson, I'm working the phones and trying to accommodate him.
Because
if he doesn't want to be here, you don't want him here.
No.
Not with a bunch of young players in that dressing room.
No question.
All right.
We got the extra point next, and it's a good one. We were asked earlier when Mr. David would give a prediction, and it will be next. We'll find out what Mr. David is predicting. It doesn't have to be about a specific thing. We just need a prediction. No, we got a specific subject to discuss. We'll do so next. Mully and Haw on the Score.
Set up this extra point.
It's time for the extra point with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Prediction time. Can you please tell us who will win the Four Nations Face-Off tonight between Canada and Team USA in Boston? Who will be honored as the one star of the game? And can you please give us one player who will score a goal in this contest?
Oh, this is hard. This is agonizing. This is torturous. This is going to be a lot of fun. All right, so it's going to come down to the goalies because it always does. And if it does, that's not great news for Team USA. I am hearing and feeling my heart, but I am listening to my head. Connor Hellebuyck is a heck of a goalie, but he is also a guy that is Mr. Regular Season. And in the playoffs, and this is the equivalent of the playoff game, playoff moment, Connor Hellebuyck has not been good. He's the NHL equivalent of Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Sam Darnold. Great guy to have in big moments, but when they get really big, he doesn't have the experience. Meanwhile, in Canada's net, there is Jordan Binnington. The last time he played in a game this big was on the same ice. Night 2019, goaltender for the St. Louis Blues, Game 7. They won. He won. He was huge in that game. That, to me, gives a slight edge to Team Canada. I think that Canada beats the U.S. 4-3. Connor McDavid, the number one star of the game. One player to score the goal besides McDavid will be MacKinnon. It will be the star power and the goaltending of Team Canada that beats Team USA on home ice. I hope I'm wrong, but it doesn't feel that way right now.
Boo! David Haugh, shame on you.
What?
Shame on you. Shame on you, David Haugh.
It's a prediction.
So this from an 815 texter. I'm going to have a texter help me answer this, and I love this text we got earlier this morning. If Canada wins tonight, as texter didn't say it, but as David Haugh is predicting, can we then cancel the restart of the NHL season by a week and have one or more games of a best-of-three winner take all? Amen to that. Because if Canada wins, what does that prove? Okay, that both teams could win in this tournament. Both teams could win in each other's different country. But, David, I'm going to push back, as I typically do in this segment or in the pick segment. I have Team USA winning this one 3-2 in extra time. Connor McDavid will score. Connor McDavid will probably score the first goal of the game. My safest bet for a two-team parlay tonight, same-game parlay, will there be overtime? Yes, and a Connor McDavid anytime goal. That's what I'm predicting. If you want to go to the window or go to your app, do that. And then, because of the storybook type things we like, one of the Tkachuk brothers wins it in overtime. 3-2, USA, 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 David Haugh wrong.
I'm not going to wrap myself in a flag like Dustin did, but I am going to say shame on you, Mr. David. And I'm taking, listen, if you're a fan of history, if you're a fan of hockey history, then you're going to take Canada because history tells you they're going to win this game because they have dominated this series and they are, I believe they think they're the nation that created hockey. I can't be certain about it. But I am going to go with the USA, USA, USA. I think Matthew Tkachuk will be the one star of the game because he'll have a really good game. I think for one player scoring one goal, I'll take Nathan MacKinnon. I just think he's going to score a goal. I think it's going to be 3-1 again with another empty net goal late by some unnamed American. And go USA.
So apparently Vegas Haw has checked Hockey Haw, and that's why we've got Canada, huh?
I think that's probably true.
Okay.
I think that's probably true. I have not seen them in the same room at the same time.
I think it's a love of things. I think it's anti-American.
Not anti-American.
I feel like it is.
This is tapping into my hockey inner hockey self.
Feel free to broadcast from the 51st state tomorrow, David.
I'm not going to be allowed in. My ID will suddenly not work.
Maybe you'll forget it.
What are you saying, eh? Oh, wait. I started to talk that way already.
Sorry, David. Sorry, David. Key card not working today. Sorry.
What are you talking about?
With the horrible hangover you're going to have tomorrow, you might want to... You might want to get yourself a famous Canadian dish.
What's a famous Canadian dish?
With a hangover?
Okay, yeah.
Poutine.
That's exactly correct.
There we go. I don't like the prediction, but I just... Listen, I'm taking a lot of the heat, and quietly over there, Brandon Fryer's saying, yeah, nodding his head, yeah, I agree with David. Because he's picking Canada. If he were predicting the score, he might have a little bit lower, but he's not with you guys.
Well, he's never loved America, if that's what you mean. But this has nothing to do with flag waving.
You don't go, no. But oh, not at all.
For the Canadian crowd, Mr. Dressed in Red Day.
I don't have red on.
You got any red flag and anthem, David?
You do in the inside.
I do have some red flag
Win
and anthem.
Win or lose, I will be in red, white, and blue tomorrow. Okay, Twitch?
All right.
Oh, wow.
Do you have like one of those flag shirts?
I don't have that.
He just has the flag shorts.
the jorts. Dustin's got
no
the jorts.
Shot. No shot. I think I might pay money to see that.
He's got the red, white, and blue
I have never worn jean shorts in my life. I've worn corduroy shorts in my life because, again, I used to shop in the Husky section. And I do have a picture that you would love. I have me in short overalls.
We got to see that picture. You got to share that with the class.
Short overalls.
That's got to be.
Who amongst us hasn't worn overalls?
Well, I can't say.
We know there's Brandon and I haven't, but the other two. One guy just confessed.
Well,
the other guy, you
probably wore overalls when you were doing that husking of corn, right?
Yes, I did. Exactly.
Yeah. Sweating in a pair of overalls.
Detasseling of corn.
Were they shorts?
Detasseling of corn. No, I had overalls.
Dustin was doing a fashion statement.
I had a green pair of overalls. And
got
I had
those
a,
at the county
I had,
seat.
I had denim. I had denim blue.
You had two pair of overalls.
I had two pair of overalls, yeah. Grew up in Indiana, man.
I did too. I actually had a pair.
You grew up in Indiana?
No. I grew up near a street, Indiana. I grew up on Belden and Howard. But I used to love the garbage men. And I had a pair of overalls, like train conductor overalls. And I would wait for the garbage men to come. I would turn the hose on. I would run the hose, get the water really cold, and give the garbage men a drink of water. It's like one of my favorite things as a kid.
Did you meet them while shopping?
The garbage men? No. Yeah, standing next to our own garbage can.
Still talking trash.
Always, yeah. 312-644-6767. Who hates America? No. Which of our hosts is the most anti? Let's not get into this. There's nothing to do with
it. This is a sports argument. It's not a test of patriotism.
Just for gambling purposes.
Yes.
Mully and Haw in this car.
Boo, David Haw. Shame on you. USA, USA, USA. David Haw wrong.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Get a lot of reaction on the text line.
Yep.
Big debate going on about my take on the goalies. Binnington apparently didn't win the Stanley Cup in 2019, so I'm told, or that doesn't matter. But that was 5 years ago. Yeah, it was. And Hellebuck is having a hell of a season, if you will. But I do think that I'm just looking at history. It might be wrong. It's just a prediction. It's just having fun.
Yeah, the history would be on your side without question. And, the truth is that I think you're anti-American. That's just the truth of it. I don't know why else you would make that choice.
I understand.
No.
A lot of suggestions for overalls tomorrow. If
oh, really?
If Team USA actually wins and I'm wrong, there's some suggestions that I need to be in denim overalls tomorrow. I don't actually own a pair right now.
Yeah.
That'd be tough.
Did you cut the ones you own down to shorts at one point?
I don't recall doing that.
Okay.
No, I don't just recall curious. Doing that. Yep. But it was definitely something that you didn't wear a lot. I can't remember wearing them for what occasion, but I did have them in my closet. Not going to lie. You grow up in rural Indiana, you're likely to have a pair of overalls.
Did you hang out with Robin Williams when you were a young man?
Nanu.
Didn't he wear? It's the only guy I can think of that wore those kind of overalls.
I don't remember Morgan overalls. Yeah, maybe. Maybe the rainbow suspenders.
I think of the Waltons myself when I think.
You think the Waltons? Yeah. John Boy.
Good night, John Boy.
Good night, John Boy. I did not like the Waltons. I was never a big Waltons guy.
How about Little House on the Prairie?
Yes. I believe.
Landon. Did he wear suspenders or
Rugged
did he wear
man.
Overalls?
He wore suspenders and maybe his family wore overalls.
Merlin Olsen was on.
Great Merlin Olsen was a great character on that.
Did you know that Michael Landon was a bedwetter? And I'm not kidding. I think he actually did like a made-for-TV movie about it because he was a bedwetter and his mother would then wash the sheets and hang them out overnight. And he found it humiliating to have the sheets hanging every day. So he would sprint home from school. And he wound up getting a track and field scholarship at USC because of this embarrassment he felt about being a bedwetter.
I did not know that. How did you recall that little tidbit?
There was a made-for-TV movie about it.
After school special?
After school special.
The more you know.
Yeah.
A very special little house in the prairie.
By being an athlete, a star athlete at USC, he was connected to Hollywood. He got a start, and next thing you know, he's, what was the name of the character? The guy in Ponderosa.
Charles Ingalls.
Big guy. No, he was on Ponderosa.
Oh, really? That's where he debuted?
Oh, I think
that's
where, yeah. I remember that.
Now, that's a show I don't have a ton of memories.
I don't either.
Yeah, it was just on television for like the first 50 years of TV.
I don't remember. I didn't watch it.
I didn't either.
It
just remember.
It was too country for me.
I remember this backstory, this wonderful backstory.
You clearly remember that little nugget. It's like you wrote a story about it or something.
I don't know how I remember
little
that.
Little Joe on Bonanza.
Bonanza.
Yeah.
Joseph Little Joe Cartwright.
I'm getting killed here. David did not like the Waltons because it hit too close to home. That's just, these people
outhouse?
Are just not
Do
nice.
You have to have an outhouse?
Not nice.
I don't know. What were the storylines of the Waltons? I know they said goodnight. That's the only thing
they
I
were
know.
It was
wholesome family.
Wholesome family in rural America?
In the middle of nowhere.
Okay.
Yeah. I think that was a shot at where I grew up.
A lot of country music songs could be done after things on the Waltons.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with country music.
All right.
Dirt floors, fried chicken on Sundays.
Mm-hmm. Let's get to Jason. Jason has a comment to make. Hey, Jason.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Hey, I was on Ancestry.com looking at the Haw family name, and it appears between 1840 and 1920, the Haw family name was found in the UK and Canada, primarily those regions. Anyways, I didn't know if 670 ran a background check. We're very familiar with the Haw name in Indiana with North Judson and Muncie. But just making sure he is a legal citizen, and just want to see if we know any more about David Haw.
Wow. What are you talking about? That's really going deep.
The organization always runs checks.
I hear you.
The organization always bounces.
I've now been outed.
I mean, runs checks.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. All right. We've got Bigs Time next. A lot of NFL news. Mully and Haw on the Score.
Nanu.